Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Brapp, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. We're glad you're with us this week. We're all
yes,
so
I'm
happy.
Back.
Good, good, good. Everybody missed you. We did the best we could without you. It's never easy without you.
Well, I'm sorry, Cindy.
It's always just a little more hectic, and we're so happy you're here. And, you know, we've been off a little bit, and everyone, because of the weather. I mean, let's put it this way. The snow, the rain, the ice, you know, It's making life a little more difficult for all of us. So I'm just glad everybody's snuggled in home. I hope we have a lot of listeners, so I think people are, you know, kind of just want to listen and relax tonight. And that sounds great. And how are you, Nicole, by the way?
I'm good.
You're good.
I'm very good.
Your bronchitis is over now?
Yeah, my bronchitis is done, thank God. I am looking forward to this weekend because I'm getting my first snowboarding trip in of the week of the season. So I'm going to be on a mountain on Saturday. It's going to be awesome, and that's it.
Good for you, because we've done some cross-country skiing. We've done some snowboarding.
I know. Can I just tell you that my wife is, like, so jealous of the two of you?
She just sees us go off and do our snowshoeing. We do whatever we can when the weather's like
that. Oh, between you guys going in the ocean and the wetsuits and everything, she's like, why do we not hang out with TJ and Cindy? She's like, why can't we hang out with you? Like, every single time she sees you doing something new.
Because we're the youngest friends you have. That's why. I mean, you know, come on. We're out there like,
It's hysterical, though. She's like, we need to hang out with Cindy and CJ. They have so much fun.
And you should. Our neighborhood just cracks up because when it snows, we'll just cross country ski down the block. You know, we're just being
That's
like
awesome.
The dogs go. The kids come running out. We like your skis. We try to have fun and get outside and get the air. But it's so funny because we bundle up so warm, and then when the spring and summer comes, I'm always freezing because I'm never cold. In the winter, because I'm so bundled. We were, like, sweating the other day when it was, like, almost zero. But it's, like, so much fun. So anybody, you should get out in the air. It's nice. It's relaxing. It's fun. So,
And it's also, we're having a heat wave right now for the next, like, 2 days. So enjoy it.
Right, until Saturday night, which is going to be weird because it's going to be raining so much for 2 days, and then it's going to drop again. So let's just hope we don't have, like, ice rinks everywhere, because the other night, I think, I forget what night it was, Monday or Tuesday, when it was the ice storm. Man, driving in that, when I got in my car, I couldn't even, like, walk on the sidewalk. It was like ice skating. It was horrible. So, you know, we just don't want it to freeze over. So let's hope that it doesn't get as cold as they're saying it's going to get on Saturday night, because that's going to be a mess. You know, just a mess.
Yeah, I hope not.
Me too, because I don't like ice.
I don't like the ice. Listen, I love the snow. I love to snowboard, but I don't like the ice. And you know what?
Me neither.
My car has been in the shop. I'm now shopping for a new car. I'm just going to give up on the old one. Just going to have to suck it up and then have a car payment for now. But it's all right. And so, you know, I mean, I've been taking the train, you know, because while I find something that I want. And even walking just to the snow, just to the train station, it's only about a half a mile from my house, but oh my God, like the roads, if I'm not in snow boots, even though it's not snowing and there's, you know what, there's pads, if I'm not in snow boots, I am sliding everywhere just on the pavement.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, everybody wear your practical shoes right now with the vibrant soles or soles that, you know, that can cling to like a little bit of ice, because Otherwise, you know, all of my clients are calling me, they fell and broke this, they fell and hurt their back. So I'm like, yep. Well, what kind of shoes were you wearing? Please, I know you can still slip anyway, but if you have like a little better pair of shoes, you'll be, you might survive this. We don't want any broken bones. Funny. And that goes for you snowboarding. Be careful. Don't be crazy, okay?
Well, because I pointed out to somebody the other day that, you know, last 3 years I've broken something. So I'm hoping
that's why
that
I wasn't going to mention that at all, but it looks like really good for you. And I don't even want as a mommy to tell you it's going to be good because then you'll be like a crazy lunatic. It will be good if you just be a little cautious, okay? So
yes,
it'll be wonderful if you just
be a little cautious. Well, that's honestly, that's my problem is what, like the last couple of years that I've hurt myself, you know, like, well, last year it was just, I was just being stupid. I just was not paying attention. But, and I re-injured it from the year before. But the two times I broke something, when I broke my tailbone and I broke my thumb, you know, year like 3 years ago and then 2 years ago, I should have been on the damn mountain. You know,
right.
I was too new. I was too green to be on the mountain in those conditions. And I miscalculated because I didn't know what I was doing fully. And I was the main reason why I got hurt. I can't even blame anything else. I was, you know, I should not have been on a mountain snowboarding, you know, when it was 0 degrees and Cuomo was pulling everybody in off the streets because of the dangerous cold. You know, when you hit a block of ice going, you know, 10 miles an hour, whatever I'm going on a snowboard, you know, it's going to hurt.
Right. Well, that's why I say if it's icy conditions, you know, icy stuff, no. So just be careful. Remember, we love you and we need you. So have fun and just, you know, use your brain because you're a very smart girl. Now, we do have a lot of listeners. Look at all the – we have listeners tonight. And, oh, I want to tell you, why good people can't leave bad relationships is selling really, really well in India. Again,
nice.
I have no idea. I have no idea why in India they love it so much. Who would think? You know, who would think?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, so I'm kind of cracking up because of all the places around the world, I wouldn't have – I mean, it sells well in England and in France, Canada, of course, United States, of course, but in Australia a little bit, but India, I would have never got – I would have never guessed that as a psychic or thought that would be the number
That's
one
awesome.
Main sales place. I mean, there are millions and millions of people, but still, you know. So I crack up to TJ when I'm going, oh, the book is really, it's really selling hot in India. So
that's awesome.
So it's good. I guess, you know, I keep attributing maybe because they have arranged marriages and stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, because they're probably newer to the whole concept of picking your own mates and things like that. So maybe it's something they need to read about and hear. So that's interesting to me. So we do have a lot of listeners. I'm going to have you do the 72201 down a few, and then you can go to the first one that's called in because I know who that one is, and then you could screen because we always don't like to take people without screening only because we never know who's going to jump on the air.
But of course. Okay, so we're going to go to 7220. And then I'm going to duck out. So let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, Jane again. How are you, Nicole?
Hi, Jane. In warm Florida. In warm
Florida.
It hasn't
been that warm. Today was warm. It's been overcast, depressing. So you don't feel so, I'm telling you so you don't feel so bad. And it actually went down to the 20s for a couple of nights.
Really? So you felt like you were back in New York a bit, huh?
on a long winter day.
So it's been kind of cold all around the world then. So that's really hard for people in Florida because you don't even have – a lot of people don't even have the clothes. You know, they don't even have the warm
enough.
No, you probably left them all in New York
thing.
I don't – did you go to the thrift store and see if you could find something?
I did, and they didn't have any sweaters, and they didn't have anything. And I tried on one sweater, and the sleeves were too short. And I said, I'm not spending money on a sweater that doesn't fit me to wear for a week. So I toughed it out.
Well, anyway, I got a, you know, your email tonight, and you said you're feeling a little impending doom kind of feeling going on.
Yeah, I kind of – you can see why, but I, you know, I know we have a reading. I have a reading again with you coming up. And but it's just persistent, and I don't know if it's just – I don't know if there's something behind the scenes psychically that I'm not,
No, I'm not seeing anything impending doom here. We do know your dad is not well, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is that something that, you know, you might be feeling, you know, he's not going to be here forever?
Yeah.
But I don't think that would even bring on a feeling of impending doom since he is older. It's something you're aware of. Usually the feeling...
It's sad, very sad, yeah.
It's sad, of course, because you love him. I mean, that would make you feel sad, okay? But it wouldn't make you necessarily feel that impending doom. That's a lot of anxiety. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've had it a few times in my life, not in a long, long time. And I couldn't shake it. When I was moving from Merrick to Holtsville, for some reason, I had this really feeling of impending doom, although we were buying a nice house. It was all good. And what later on happened was I just ended up having like sort of a midlife crisis and everything in my whole life changed. It wasn't necessarily bad, but I can understand what they were trying to tell me. It just looks like some changes might be taking place in your life. And they're not even bad changes that bring on this feeling of impending doom. But there's not indicated in your cards is nothing impending doom whatsoever here. You know, you've been through a lot in the last few years, so your serotonin levels could be a little depleted just from all your anxious worries. Do you do any kind of breathing meditation ever to help you?
I try. I've been neglecting work all day. That's okay, right? Work?
What's okay?
Work.
Yeah, work
your
looks
work?
Good.
Okay,
yes.
Because I have a lot of catching up to do, you know, to add to my misery, you saw my dental sob story.
Okay, so what was the tell us about your dental, because that always gives me a feeling of impending doom when there's something wrong with my teeth or I have to get, that
really
just, that does it to me. Like I remember when I was only like 18, 19, 20, whatever, I have a tooth that never came down. It's still floating on the top of my roof of my mouth, by the way, that any time could probably act up. So, and I didn't get a tooth come down, so I had to get a bridge because all of a sudden, you know, I'm almost like 20 years old, I think I was, and I still had a baby tooth. So I had to pull the baby tooth, and then, of course, I had to get a bridge. And I remember having such a massive anxiety attack over that, you know, and it was expensive, for one thing. But two, I don't know, I just had this, like, really impending doom about it. So I think I kind of get why you might be having that feeling about your teeth. I actually had that once. I mean, nothing that actually happened, but this is expensive. So what do you need, actually, in terms of your teeth?
A post and a new crown. Or no, a post and a crown on top of this root canal there, but it's in the back. And I'm seeing the prosthodontist because, you know, with all the stuff I have, I want cosmetically everything to go well. And he was recommended by someone in New York, and I don't know him. And he's very he's very expensive. He is overpriced, but I almost got two teeth permanently destroyed by a crook that I went to down here. A lot of crooks down here. Through my insurance, and I like to tell everybody, be careful of insurance dentists.
Right, you know,
he
they want to do things that just to hike up the bill and stuff, and maybe not what's right.
I had the good sense to run away, and I found this guy, and he said, "There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing going on here. You don't even need a new filling." And he wanted a crown, and that's. You know, that's a big deal.
A lot of money. And also, it's grinding your teeth. It's true sometimes. Yeah. That's why I stay with my dentist that I've known for years and years, because I did have one.
Yeah.
I did leave her for a bit to do the ones with insurance, but I found they were always going to charging me things or telling me things that I didn't think were wrong. And I know with her, she never said, if there's nothing wrong with my teeth, you know, she gives a cleaning, that's it. You know what I mean? And I trust her. And even though she costs me a little more money because I have to pay for the cleanings, I don't have to pay them with that. It's worth it to me. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
If this man already told you, he already saved you some money, by the way. But
well, I wasn't going to do the procedure unless somebody told me, yes, it was necessary, which I knew it wasn't. But, yeah, in a way he did. But he charges me to walk in the door. He charged me to look at my tooth instead of building it into the price of this whole procedure. But that's not really – everything started before that, and I think it's partly my neighborhood also. Like, I want to go home. I wake up every morning, I want to go home, but I don't know where that is. Is that weird?
Well, no, because wanting to go home, by the way. You know, everybody loved the movie E.T., And all he wanted to do was go
yes.
home. Remember? Now,
yeah,
my daughter,
yeah.
who was terrified of everything when she up until mm-hmm. the age of like 3 or 4, she wouldn't go anywhere without me. She was really kind of like a clingy kid. And she wanted to go see E.T. for some reason. I guess she saw a commercial. And she went mm-hmm. with her dad to see E.T. all by herself mm-hmm. with him, which was like, this is a big girl stuff for her. She
uh-huh.
loved that movie like you wouldn't believe. Go home,
aww.
E.T., go home. And we had to, there wasn't videos in those days, so we had to listen to Michael Jackson, who did this, like, told the story of E.T. the movie. He was the narrator. And we had to listen to it
oh.
all the time. Go, but she loved the whole go home. And meanwhile,
uh-huh.
she's only 3. And looking back, I'm sure she wanted to go back home to God. I'm sure she didn't want to be necessarily here, you know, going to earth school and learning all the crap you got to learn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and even babies, when I channel talking to babies who are coming through to say things to their parents, a lot of times they're
mm-hmm.
saying, I don't really like it here so much. You know, they're newborns. You know, I have
you
a stomach ache. It's cold.
Babies on this side?
No, babies here on this side. Kind of like
okay.
giving a message to their parents. I'm not so happy about this here. You know, I don't know how much I like
wow.
it. And the dead are telling wow. me, like, their grandparents are up there saying, the babies keep saying they want to come home to us. They want to come back home. And
yeah.
I'll have to, like, sit there with the little baby and just kind of tell them, you know, you're here for the duration now. Okay, you can
yeah.
fight it your whole life or you can kind of accept that you're here.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, going home is almost like a metaphor for wanting to go to God a little bit. I think, you know, you haven't had the easiest life as of late, okay? So,
as of ever. But.
So I think going home for you would mean I want to go where mm-hmm. I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had a childhood like mine, pretty dysfunctional. And children
mm-hmm.
with dysfunctional childhoods never feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
They just never feel safe. They always feel like,
right.
you know, and I would sometimes when I was growing up on a rainy kind of or a certain rainy, cloudy day, the kind of weather you're having now in Florida,
oh,
kind of
yeah,
damp, rainy,
on top, yeah,
I would
on top
always
of everything, yeah.
get anxiety. It would always
me
give
too,
me like
when
this.
It rains.
Right, this
yeah.
sort of dark. So I don't know if that's something from our childhood that is being brought up, maybe how alone we
yeah.
felt during those times. But I think going home is your way of telling God, please, you know, like you said, you're not loving where you're living right now. Okay, it's not horrible,
no.
but you don't love it. Like, tell
right.
God, I would like to live in a place where I feel safe, where
and,
I really
and part
feel
of the
safe.
Community, like part of a...
A community where you feel safe and there's people
mm-hmm.
like-minded like you. Because I think you're feeling lonely and I think you're feeling a little isolated. And these things will come as a feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
This will
yeah.
be the feeling of doom, the feeling of loneliness. I know sometimes when I see like a father holding his child's hand in the beach and the ocean and the child looks is so protected,
mm-hmm.
I always think I never felt that way growing up, that my dad was going to protect
yeah.
me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I never felt that. And so you might just be at that point where you are in a better place than you've been. So you're safer than
mm-hmm.
you were. You have your own place. It's not an ideal
right.
place. But maybe those feelings mm-hmm. of now I want something a little more. I want to feel safe and loved and surrounded
mm-hmm.
by people. I want a family. Like your dad is not going to be here forever, okay?
No. And, yeah, well, yeah.
And not that he's a very nurturing, loving person that makes you feel safe, but he is
no,
your dad.
But... Mm-hmm.
But when he's gone, you're wondering, like, I'm really an orphan. Do I really have anybody? So some of this is, like, your desire to have a better life. And so just keep putting out
mm-hmm.
to God, I want to feel safe. Find
okay.
me a place. Because home just means safe, doesn't it? Where I
yeah.
feel safe.
I don't know. I don't exactly know. Sometimes I think it's what you just said. But I also had this feeling of doom, which I didn't have the feeling of I want to go home. When I was about to get divorced, except I didn't know I was going to get divorced.
Okay, well, that's
and,
also because, you know, our minds will register when we're in denial about something, that there's a big
right,
problem.
Yeah.
And that
mm-hmm.
I could get why you would have had that feeling. Just like
yeah.
when I had the impending doom when I was moving, a lot of changes
mm-hmm.
happened in me. So I get that.
Right.
But with
yeah.
here, what I'm seeing with you now, it's not so much... I don't see bad stuff happening. I just see there's a lot of change, and some of it's going to be good change, but it is change. And older souls don't like change. Even if it's good, they just don't like...
Yeah.
But not work wise.
Leaving.
Well, your dad doesn't look like he's here forever. I mean,
I know. I hope it's not right away, but you know.
No, and then you know, with you, a lot of it. I'm just seeing the anxiety is just. I'm not seeing there's any reason here for anxiety, like something horrible is going to happen, like you're not going to lose your job
mm-hmm.
or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of change, and I think, you know, you've been in Florida like a year now or more.
A year and a month.
Okay, so I think you're lonely. You know, it wasn't that you didn't like New York. You liked New York, you just couldn't afford it.
Right, I did. I liked it. You know, I liked a lot about it. Not loved everything, but yeah, I was fine there.
And you've been here a long time. It was your world, and you left
mm-hmm.
behind some nice people that you worked with and people that you miss. So
yeah.
That's some of it. But really, you know, psychically, you're asking me, do I see something here horrible that you should have this? No, I'm not. And I'm going to read
right.
you again in a few weeks. Just, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
sometimes, you know, and I hate that feeling of impending doom. Anybody who's ever had it, it's a horrible feeling. You know, it's just
yeah.
a horrible
feeling. Yeah,
but,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
I know what it feels like. I haven't had it in a
mm-hmm.
very long time, but
yeah.
I do remember... wonder, I had it much more as a child. I think it's gotten
mm-hmm.
better now, but
mm-hmm.
realize what your goal is to get up, live in a place where you feel surrounded
yeah.
by other like-minded people. I mean, you feel a little scared. I mean, if something goes wrong in your life, who can you call to help you in Florida?
Sometimes I think if I, because, you know, for example, I have osteoporosis. It doesn't bother me consciously, but if I fall down and break a hip, what do I, you know?
Or if your car breaks down.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, so I think you really want to feel like if you need something, you have
yeah.
a really good friend nearby or a nice man or somebody
right.
who will help you.
It'd be nice,
so,
yeah.
Wouldn't that
not,
be nice?
Not that I want anything like that to be an issue. I don't want to fall down or break my car.
No, but again, it's just
nice
the feeling that
nothing.
You really don't have yeah. anybody you can call to help you,
yeah.
like, right away.
Yeah. And
so,
my neighbors are nuts.
Yeah, well, that'll make you have anxiety, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the best thing I would do is kind of close my blinds and not look out the windows. And
yeah, I know. There are a couple that I talk to, but I could do without them, but they're okay. And they're hardly ever here. They're snowbirds. You know? I mean, I could take leave them, just maybe a couple, very few people. The rest, really bizarre old Bill.
Okay, well, that's why we're going to get you. Our goal is to get you in a place where there are nice people, you know,
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, mature and good, and
yeah.
where you'll feel like a home. You just don't feel like, you have a home. Well, I
yeah,
can't wait to talk to you privately because it's, you know, a few
oh, okay.
other things. Nothing
Thank
bad,
you.
But nothing bad at all. But just, you know, a few hints of how you can maybe,
yeah.
you know, manifest what you want. And I think
okay.
with your dad going, it is causing you a lot of anxiety. You know,
but that's not helping. Yeah,
it's not helping. How old is he now?
Yeah. 89.
Okay. Well, you know, he's been hanging in there pretty long, pretty good. You know, for 89,
yeah.
because he's been
yeah.
sick for a while
yeah.
now. So,
yeah.
you know, just try to you know make amends to him as much as you can. So, I know you've been
yeah.
trying to
well,
do
I
that.
Think, yeah, we've been we had a visit the other day. So,
was it pleasant for a change?
Yeah, except when she came home. You don't want to. I'll tell you when I talk to you. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what we were going to discuss a little bit her because I think his wife gives you a lot of anxiety. So,
well, I think she's abusing him.
Well, that might
not beating him, not like you know physically taking a bat and beating him, but she doesn't hide certain things.
Well, that would give you anxiety because you are the kindest person who doesn't like to hurt
mm-hmm.
a fly. And to see, for you to see that would cause you anxiety. But if your dad isn't going
to
tell you he needs help, if he's
yeah.
not telling you he needs help, and
yeah.
if he's covering up for her, then there's nothing you can do. I mean,
yeah.
that's one
less
thing I've learned.
Less.
You know, you just can't. If he's not going to, like, because
yeah.
even if you brought it up, he'd probably, it'd only make trouble.
Well, he says now he knows what she is. What goes around comes around, whatever that means. I don't know.
Yeah, what that means, she isn't being great to him. And, you know, In his books, someone will do the same thing to him, but I don't think he wants you involved because she'll only go crazy.
She is, awful.
Right.
No redeeming qualities whatsoever. I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Well, that's what I said. We'll talk about that. I don't really want to air her on the radio. Okay.
I know.
Well, thanks
for
calling in and email me if you're really,
you
know, let me know how you're doing. Okay.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Bye.
I'll
love you.
To
bye.
The show while I'm working. Love you too. Bye bye.
Bye. Okay, we have Lisa now. Okay. And what's happening with Lisa? Okay.
All right. Well, Lisa is in Long Island, Cindy. And
okay.
If our listeners didn't remember, back in September, she was speaking about her very bipolar, I would consider it borderline abusive, ex-girlfriend, who ghosted her. And I believe that was one of those conversations, Cindy, where I had to distribute a little bit of tough love.
Yes, you did.
She's calling back now to get a little bit of an update. And basically, you had seen this girl reaching back out to Lisa, and she hasn't heard anything as of yet. And in, I guess, a private session with you, you told Lisa that she should just let the universe do its work. And she wants to know, how is the universe doing with that? So
okay.
Here is Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Hi,
you're
Cindy.
On the air.
Hi, Lisa. How are you? I'm glad you called in.
Good, Cindy. How are you?
I mean, good. Are you hanging in there? How are you doing?
You know what? I've been doing well, but I feel like I'm going through a little. I'm feeling a little melancholy lately.
Yep. And it's funny because I think even our caller before you is having that same sort of melancholy.
Uh-huh.
And I will tell you, the dead are extremely melancholic between November 25th and January 1st because they miss the holidays, they miss all of us. And so that melancholy is not only, it's around the universe, but I know you're missing her. It looks, what I'm seeing here with her is she's trying to be strong and keep it all together. She has pangs of conscience in which she knows she did not do correct by you. Okay, and she feels badly.
Okay.
And then she just fights her desire to speak to you or talk to you because she's trying to prove to the world she doesn't need anybody and she could survive without anybody. You know, you're going to have to just stay strong on this because if you try to contact her, it's not going to go over well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she's got that defensiveness about her.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I'm seeing here is the universe will be patient with her for another few months, and then they will bring you someone else. You know, this is, I know you still want her and you love her very much,
mm-hmm.
but if
right.
she's not going to start coming around anytime soon, this isn't healthy for you.
Right.
And it also, you know, your son needs to see a better version of love than what he saw.
Right.
And so, you know, she knows she broke your heart. And, do you have any mutual friends who are telling you about her at all, what's going on?
No, nothing at all.
Nobody's saying a word to you, huh?
No, no one connects with her, yeah. In the last reading, you said you don't see anyone in her life.
No, there's nobody here. As
no.
I said, I was wondering if maybe
like no friends,
you
no anyone.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
It's her and her kids and, you know, whoever helps her take care of the kids occasionally, and that's it. It's very isolated, and she goes to work. And the kids. And she's
mm-hmm.
kind of exhausted. She keeps herself very, very, very busy so she doesn't have to think.
Like, what is she? Okay.
You know, right. And yes, she does. You know, when she puts her head on the pillow at night, oftentimes she thinks about you and remembers you. And yet, you know, soulmate love brings up unhealed issues, and she has a lot of issues that she just does not want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very sad because, you know, you would have been there to help her through everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think as we were discussing in the last reading, you know that she's diagnosed with bipolar and
mm-hmm.
she needs her meds and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to pretend she doesn't have that.
Right.
And if you're around, you're going to be the one who always reminds her, you know, you do have this condition, you have to take care of it. Right now she's thinking she's taking care of everything and she's got it all under control.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she can collapse under the weight of everything she has here. between work and, I mean, she has nobody to help her anymore. There's nobody there helping her. And she does need some, I mean, her daughter's a little bit older and she is helping a little bit, but that's really not her daughter's job.
Right.
And actually her daughter's extremely protective of her and almost is like almost being the mother instead of the daughter at this point. And she's a little concerned about her mother's mental health right now.
Really?
Yeah, so you know, that's a lot on a young girl, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, just hang in there. Don't contact her, because if you do, she's only going to probably say something you don't want to hear, and it's not necessarily truthful. You know, hearts don't lie. People lie. She might tell you she doesn't need you, she doesn't miss you, we're fine. She doesn't always tell the truth. I hope you know that about her. She doesn't always tell the truth.
Right.
But are you doing anything to get out there and find anybody else? Are you...
Well, you know, I'm busy myself with my home renovation, but that's almost coming to an end. You know, and just with the cold weather now of shoveling and, you know, working. But I do try to go out. I invite people over. Yeah.
Good. And just keep yourself busy. You can center love on the soul plane. And you're not going to stop loving her, okay? It's impossible to stop loving a soulmate. You stop liking her, but you haven't stopped loving her. But you will be brought a soulmate sooner than later. You know, they're going to give her 3 months because I think you're still willing to wait to see what she does in the next couple of months. But after that, you know, let the universe bring what's ready, what's for you. And we can't wait forever for people to make up their minds what they want.
Right.
And unfortunately, people are ghosting people, disappearing, reappearing, coming back. They don't know what they want. But it's such hurtful behavior. And, I mean, you guys were married. I don't know if, you know, our listeners know that. You guys were actually legally married. You're divorced.
Right. Yes.
So, you know, you were married. There was a committed relationship there. And then all of a sudden, you know, out of the blue, this woman doesn't know what she wants. And it wasn't fair to you at all. You didn't do anything to deserve this. I hope you know that.
Yeah. And does she know that now at times, like you said?
Yes, that's what I said. She knows, you know, excuse me, in her heart of hearts, that you didn't do anything but be there for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything you would say or do was just to make sure she would be okay.
Right.
But with her, she saw it as, you know, you being a mommy to her or controlling her.
Right.
And that was never your intention.
Right.
But,
you know, it's all this negativity in the world, and people say you should always be telling people who you love that you love them. And it breaks my heart that I can't do that.
Of course. And but if you,
you
do it,
I mean?
It's only going to be her seeing you trying to control her.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, she's we've discussed it about her. She's an extreme narcissist. It is about her.
Right.
So, I mean, it's hard to get break through people like that.
Right.
You know, they can't almost feel your compassion or think about what you might be feeling. She's not the most compassionate person I've ever seen.
Right. Right.
And you are. And again, it is a waste. And I think it's one of the hardest things in the world to know where the love is that you want, but not be able to access it. I mean, that's painful.
Right.
You know where it is. You know you want her. And love is really very simple. You love somebody, you want them. And remember, nothing was done to make that love not be there. You were willing to even forgive her things that probably someone else wouldn't forgive.
Right.
And meanwhile, she's not forgiving at all. And she pushed you a little far and hard. And,
right.
I think she just thinks you're going to get, you know, tired of her and you'll find somebody else. Not that she necessarily wants that, but then she could say, look, she didn't really love me that much. And, you know, this true love, deep love, just brings up too much anxiety in her. And it, and I understand why you feel sad about this. You know, you guys were soulmates.
Yeah.
There was an amazing soulmate connection that you guys had. And
when
it was good, it was good. And then, you know, what happens is with commitment phobics or people that have unhealed issues, they'll just decide they don't want a relationship. Like, okay, I don't want this now. Like, really? Out of the blue, you don't want this? So, you know, I don't see her contacting you anytime soon because right now she's just decided she's not going to speak to you. Now, that could change at any moment, depending if she's having a really bad day. I mean,
yeah.
Remember we were talking about with Jane, or the last listener. She has nobody
right.
to call if she needs anything.
Right.
Imagine that. Nobody in the world.
Right.
Your.
And this is usually when she gets sick, like she's prone to pneumonia. And if she's run down.
But she knows she can call you. She always knows you would be there without a question asked.
Mm.
You know, she just knows. And,
yeah.
I mean, that
but
makes her.
But she still knows, even though it's been 4 months?
She knows.
Like,
she knows.
How
you.
Does she know what I'm doing? Like, how does she know I haven't met someone? Not that I want to meet
anyone.
She knows
no matter what. She knows no matter what. And, I'm just going to, like, let's play this out. You know, I'm calling you. I'm her right now. I'm, like, freaking out. I'm not feeling well. The kids are sick. I can't cope. What would you do?
I'd go over there and help. Yeah.
She knows that. She knows she'd drop everything to be there and help her. So, you see, she's in a little different position than you are. She's in control. Okay.
Right.
And the one thing, whether it's male, female, 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 male, male, whatever, transgender, transgender, there's always one person who's the master
mm-hmm.
and the boss. That's her. She's the one who calls all the shots. And she knows that she's the one that's in control. Like, if she calls you, you'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't say the same thing. If you needed her
right
now and you called her, she wouldn't be there for you.
She wouldn't even return my call. She wouldn't answer it, yeah.
Right.
But
so
is she afraid at one point that, like, oh, my gosh, it's been so long and I better do something or I'm going to, you know, I'm never going to have
but
her
But one
in
thing
life.
She knows about is you love her unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
You love her. But her spirit guides are going to start telling her, well, she's going to be brought another soulmate. So she won't be there. She can't be there after that. You know, she'll have someone else that she has to, you know, answer to or won't want, you know, another soulmate isn't going to want you running to help her.
Right.
Especially after she hurt you so badly. Because
mm-hmm.
your soulmate will love you so much and won't even want you getting involved with someone who has the potential to hurt you so much.
Right.
And also, why should you be there only when she has a disaster? How about sharing some happiness with me?
Sure.
How about calling me when, to ask me how I am? How about something about me? So,
right.
What I'm seeing is that, you know, don't hold your breath waiting for her to contact you.
Right.
But it could happen any moment just because she needs you. She might even call to find out if you're with somebody, you know, because she's not really able to find out a lot about you either. And don't post things on social media or things where she can see what you're up to.
I don't have any of that. I don't
Good.
Have any of that.
Then she has to call you if she wants to find out stuff. I have to warn people, if you're posting all pictures of you on Facebook and everything and, you know, you have somebody you long for and miss, they're going to stalk you and see what you're up to, so they don't have to call you. So don't make it so easy for them to find out whether you're in a relationship, not in a relationship, or whatever. Well, good luck to you, Lisa. Please call in again and let us know
okay.
how you're doing.
Can
you
I
know.
Ask you one more,
sure.
two more things? So is she still in a manic depression stage, or is she getting out of it and getting into the sadness?
You mean she's in the manic state? It looks like she's still a little on the manic side here.
Okay.
That's why she's going to collapse. She's been running without stopping, okay?
Right.
And she doesn't sleep well, and she doesn't rest much. So it's only a matter of time before that's going to come to a collapse here.
Right. And the kids, are they doing okay?
Again, as we spoke about her daughter is taking on a role of really being mother to the little boy. And, you know, she's the one that's taken on a lot of responsibilities. And trying to step up to the plate because she sees her mother can't handle it all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you know, good kids do. I did it with my mother. I mean, she had four kids, and she was a working woman when most women didn't work. And I stepped up to the plate to clean, do the dishes, help.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she was going to collapse. You know, my mother didn't ask me to do it, but I just did it. That's what she's doing. She's trying to take on more and more, but it's a lot because she has to do her schoolwork, too. She has stuff she has to do.
Right.
So I think if she didn't have the older child, she would be collapsing.
Wow. Okay. All right.
But
now,
that's not right to change your daughter, turn your daughter into
it's not right.
You know, your wife or whatever.
Yeah. No, that's not right. And everything okay with my family? Like with me? Because my my sister and I had got into a little argument.
Did you resolve it now?
I think it is, but I don't know.
No, it looks like it's okay. Just don't get involved money-wise with her anymore.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Because it looks like that has been smoothed over.
Mm-hmm.
But finish up your work in the house, and that's it with that, and then just keep it strictly sister and you, and not a business arrangement. But it looks like it's okay here.
Okay, excellent. Okay, Cindy, it's always a pleasure talking
you
to you.
Too.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have Brianna. And then we're going to go to the 516-8060, which is a little bit down. So I'm going to try to do these two callers. Okay? And
Alrighty
that one
then.
Is Christine,
yes.
The other one, because she had emailed me earlier. So.
Okay.
Now Brianna, did we ever speak to Brianna
so
before?
You know what? I forgot to ask Brianna if we've spoken with her before, but she is calling us from Kansas, Cindy.
Wow.
And she's been speaking to a new guy now for about 3 weeks. And I think she's getting a little bit antsy here. She kind of wants to know what's in the cards.
Well, she's speaking
picking
or
up any good vibes?
All right, but speaking or seeing, I mean, is this someone she just met online and they're only talking?
This is somebody,
she
I believe
him?
This is a new relationship. This is a relationship that is in its infancy, and she kind of wants to get a gauge on your vibes.
Okay, good. All right, so let's put Brianna.
Hello, Brianna,
on.
You are on the air.
Yeah, this is my first time talking to you guys.
Okay, I didn't think we don't get that many Kansas calls. We're not in Kansas that often, okay? But we love it. I mean, it's like the only thing I ever think of is Kansas is the Wizard of Oz. You know, that's about as much as I know about Kansas. All right, so and I'm glad you called in because we like to get the new callers. And okay, so did you meet this guy online? Did you meet him in person? What's the story?
Yes. Long story short, we met online, but we ended up finding out we had lots of mutual friends. and his name's
Funny.
Michael, if that helps. And we have a lot in common and everything. And I'm in no hurry, no rush, but I'm just curious to see where it could go or where you might see it going, because it takes me a while to get excited about a guy, and he's the first guy I've been really, like, excited about lately.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
And it's funny because I like the way you say of mutual friends, because the universe had to get you to meet however they could, even if it was online, although it looks like you probably could have met him through one of the friends, somehow going somewhere or being there. Do you mind me asking your age? Some people get, like, you know, upset about this. But
I'm 25.
That's what I thought. I thought you look like you were under the age of 30. And is he close to your age?
He's 26.
Okay, good. So you realize with your generation, they have trouble committing, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So are you looking for a serious relationship?
I'm open to it. I feel like because I'm really not the type of girl to put up with a lot of crap, like my heart's pretty guarded. But, I mean, I'm open to it.
Okay, now, the reason I'm asking you these questions is it's going to be hard for the universe to help move this relationship along if you don't know what you want. So, if you know, you're getting to the age.
I know what I want. I know what I want in someone, but I just don't want to force anything, if that makes sense.
Okay, but you do want to see if this can grow to be something more.
Exactly,
and so,
yes.
So the relationship has to kind of start on the right 2 feet. It's kind of, have you actually seen him in person and everything?
Yes.
Okay, good. And you've gone on dates or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you're generating.
No, he's in, well, right now he's in Oklahoma, and he won't be back in Kansas for another 2 or 3 more weeks.
Okay. So you haven't actually met him in person?
I met him once.
Okay. And was there chemistry?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. That's what I need to know. Okay, perfect. And I think he's able to be kind of getting closer to you right now because there's sort of like a built-in, this can't go too fast because I'm in Oklahoma and you're in Kansas, so let's take it a little slow. So I think that was good for him too. He looks like he's a little afraid of a relationship himself, but he likes you a lot. I mean, he thinks you're very smart. He enjoys talking to you. Do you actually talk to him or you just text? Do you talk?
Yeah.
Like on the phone, voice to voice?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I love it. Kansas is so different from New York, because I'm sure Nicole's laughing because she knows what I'm talking about. People in New York, they just text, and I can't stand that, you know, because soulmates have, like, a DNA in their voice. Do you like his voice?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's what I want to hear. You have a really nice voice, too, so I'm sure he
Thank
loves your
you.
Voice. So there's a DNA when you talk. You know, he was very, very strongly attracted to you when he saw you, too. I hope you got that vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Because
he always compliments me.
Mm-hmm. And he's, from head to toe, you're his dream girl. Like, if he could have gone to, like, central casting and cast, like, what she would be like, it's you. he has a grandfather who passed away, from what I could see here. Could be a great-grandpa, but it's definitely someone who knew him when he was very, very little. And this man is claiming to have brought you guys in alignment with each other. He thinks you're the perfect girl for him.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, he likes you. And, you know, he says, this is good. When you do meet, does he live close to you in Kansas? Or?
Yes.
Perfect. Yes. You know, you might want to, by the time you've been talking 6 weeks, you have a right to tell him what you want here. You know, I mean, you know, what am I going to be? You know, are we going to see each other exclusively? I mean, I have an expression, I don't want drama, I don't want disease. So if I'm going to continue to see you, I'd like to see only you. It doesn't mean he has to marry you, but it means how is love going to grow if you don't start it out right?
Well, we already talked about that already, and he's like that. Like, he's, if I'm talking to you, like, you're going to be the only girl I'm talking to.
Yes.
He said his last girlfriend cheated on him, so his heart's a little
gone. That's what I saw here. That's what I saw
here.
He's been hurt. He's been hurt. And so he might be a little guarded because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
But if he's willing to, you know, see you and only you, I think you have to be willing to see him and only him. You know
oh,
what
definitely,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
So already you're 1,000% on the right track here. And again, he's a loyal guy. You know, later on when you know him a little better, you could tell him the guy that, you know, his ex cheated on him is his best, should be his best friend, because this girl's a cheater and a liar and not good, and he really should have broken up with her because she's a manipulator. But he's such a nice guy that he gave her a lot of chances. So thank God she cheated and he broke up, because he's a really good, he's a good person, and good people are like magnets for unfixables, and she really is an unfixable. She's over the age of 25 now. She's a narcissist manipulator.
Yeah.
She's not accountable for her behavior. She, you know, he could have caught her red-handed in bed naked, and she's going to say it wasn't her. I mean, she's a liar.
Yeah.
So I think he's a little upset because he didn't really know who she was, but she really was the princess that became the beast. So he's a little afraid, a little bit. Is Brianna going to be the princess that becomes the beast? So it takes about 3 months of actually staying in a relationship with someone, because at your age group, they can't sustain it for more than 3 months if they're a beast. And you couldn't sustain it either. So you're a good person. He's a good person. Shouldn't that make for an easy relationship, two good people brought together?
Yeah.
He's a hardworking guy.
The main reason why I'm calling is because, like, the past couple days the communication has been a little off. I guess just we're so used to contact, and it's kind of been weird the last, like, 2 days. So I just didn't know, like.
And why has he stopped contact, or why is it? Do you know? Did you ask him?
No. And that's the thing. Me and him are too stubborn. We're both kind of too much alike. Like, I can tell when we have conversations, we're both very kind of stubborn people.
Well, if I were you, I would, you know, I always tell people, you know, you don't pay money to talk to a psychic and ask them about it, what's going on in a relationship. Ask him. You know, really, ask him. Like, okay, is something wrong? You know, why are we not connecting so much? You know, I miss you. Whatever. Put the cards on the table and ask him. He might. What I'm seeing, he's a little scared of a relationship right now, and it could be because he got so hurt by her. You know what I mean? And now he's a little guarded. But, you know, try to ask him and what's going on. And, you know, he's getting nervous. He's going to be here in a few weeks. He's scared. You know, he's getting a little nervous.
Do you see it going any deeper, or is it
not
worth it?
No, I mean, he likes you very much. You know, he might be a little scared right now. So I think that's
something. So it's not me personally that it's, like, the reason why our contact has been off?
No, it's because he's scared. But, you know, I would ask people, you know, we have to learn to.
And that's why I'm, like, kind of giving him his space, because I don't want to, like, scare him off, like, blow his phone up or anything.
Right. No, don't blow his phone up, because then you look like a psycho bitch here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's not me, yeah.
Give him a few days to just see what he's doing, and then like when he calls, you know, tell him you've missed him. Don't like grill him, you know. Just, oh,
yeah.
I really missed you. I miss talking with you. Like, be loving, you know. Like,
yeah.
Okay, you disappeared a little bit. You got scared. Okay, but I miss you, and I'm glad you called, so that he can kind of know that you're a nice person, you know, and
okay.
that you're not crazy. He is a little scared because he seems like, oh my God, we're getting so close, but, you know. He promised himself after the last relationship he wasn't going to, like, get involved with somebody until he really knew who they were, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
But he was with her a while, the girl that cheated. So, I mean, it's not a, you know, she just was, you know, he never really knew who she was. And so he just is a little scared. What if you're not who I think you are? And
mm-hmm.
it's kicking in a little bit. But he's a really nice guy from what I could see here. And, you know, he... Just when do you ever call him, or he's the one that calls you? Do you call him sometimes?
No, it's both. Yeah, I don't do that game stuff.
So you call him first.
I'll call someone first. Yeah.
Thank you. I can't stand when people. No, I mean, I would maybe call him tomorrow and just say, "I miss you. How's it going?" You know, no grilling or anything like that. But just let him know you miss him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a little scared. He's just a little scared. And
so, do you think there's good hopes for us for this to turn into something serious?
Yes, it looks very nice here. And again, you know, he's scared. So,
okay.
Give him a little space, and you know, be yourself. You know, just be you. Okay, you don't have to be anybody but you. So whatever, you know, however you feel like responding, do it. And you know, this looks good. There's definitely a soulmate connection here. I just see that he's scared. So, you know, you don't want to be involved with a man who's going to start calling all the shots. He's going to say, you know, I can't do this too much. So got to let him know if you're going to be in my life, it has to be consistent.
Yeah.
I don't go for, like, we're close. Because it looks like you probably got close and then you got scared here a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I love it when women say, we had the best week and we made love. It was so wonderful. And then he doesn't call me for a week. I go, yeah, well, that's because he got scared. You got so close. But it's not
mm-hmm.
it's not nice. You know, then the woman doesn't know, what, did I do something wrong? So
exactly,
that,
I don't like
that. He says that you got close and now he's scared. So give him a little airspace, and then you're just going to have to, you know, say you miss him and go, really, I'm the kind of woman that I really do need. If we're close, we stay close. I'm not comfortable with
over that hump, though.
Yeah, when he trusts you.
Problem.
I mean, it's not stupid. He's only known you a few weeks. You could very easily become the beast, okay? So,
and you
could say to him, I know we have no history behind us, so I can get that you're scared,
mm-hmm.
but we're not going to be building good history if we're running and afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just try, put our two feet in here, see where it goes, and be consistent with each other, because the mixed messages will make you crazy.
Do you know how long it might take for you, like when you might see us in a relationship?
Well, I would say when he starts coming back and you're actually seeing him, and that's a relationship, isn't it?
Oh, well, I don't know. Just something serious.
I know. I love your generation. What is it like? Are you dating? Is it a hookup? Is it a booty call? What is it? What do you guys call it? I mean, if you're...
Yeah, there's lots of stupid terms, I guess.
I know. I love your generation because they've all been raised with labels. Everybody's ADD, this and that.
There's
a million labels. But they can't give a name to a relationship. You know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would ask him, am I your girlfriend? You know, I mean, like when you're dating.
That's
him,
not
I mean,
me. I can't do that.
So then you're going to let him call all the shots.
No. There's a difference. I would never. No, I'm too independent for that. But I'm also not going to be like, oh, am I your girlfriend? Like, I don't know. It's probably more a vibe. I feel like I would know if it wasn't going to go that far.
Right. But also, just
if
you do feel like your boyfriend and girlfriend, then you should say the words. Because they help.
Okay.
Because when you can't say the words, it shows commitment phobia. And commitment phobia is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger between people. And, you know, we were talking earlier with the first listener. People need to feel safe. And
mm-hmm.
how do you feel safe with someone when you don't know what you are to them?
Yeah.
You know, when it's like the elephant in the room that nobody talks about. What am I?
Yeah.
And if you're only seeing each other, so isn't that boyfriend-girlfriend? I don't understand. So,
yeah.
I mean, Do you know what I'm saying? He's like, you're dating.
I feel like girls know, but I feel like the labels are more for a guy. Like, I feel like a girl can know and be committed and serious, but for a guy, if there's no freaking label on it, then it's like, well, I'm free to go do whatever.
Right. So that's why you want to make sure that, you know, if you're dating, that means you can date and see other people. If you're telling each other, only seeing each other, well, that's kind of boyfriend-girlfriend. So, you know, just at the moment, just women have to learn to just be a little more open with men, what they want. I mean, I grew up in an all-boy neighborhood with three older brothers. Men don't really like when you play games. I mean, even if they run away because you're being real, at least you know what where you stand. It's not good to, like, and so many women assume that they're committed when they haven't had the talk. I'm glad you guys had the talk about that, you know, he's not talking to other girls while he's talking to you. But, do us a favor and call in when he comes back.
Okay.
Here in a few weeks, how you going? Because, I mean, there's a soulmate connection here. There's a heart, soul, mind, body. Okay?
Okay.
That
okay.
much I'll tell you. Well, good luck to you. I'm going to try to get Christine before they blow us off the air.
Okay,
call
thank
in
you.
Again. You're welcome.
All right,
bye.
I will. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have Christine now. Let's take her on, please.
You got it. There she is. Hello, Christine.
Hi.
You were on the air.
Hi, Christine. Okay,
hi,
so Christine...
Cindy.
Christine is beautiful inside and out, and very smart.
You.
Now you have this, and you have this guy, this new guy in your life. He's a lot younger than you, which is not unusual because Christine looks like 20 years younger than she is, and whatever. And you know, tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, I feel like I'm very independent, and I feel like he's trying to control me, and. Then when I don't go along with everything he says or I give him my opinion, like something's a terrible idea, he like starts arguing with me and he actually says, he belittles me and he'll say, you're so not independent. And I'm like, no. I'm like, I am the complete opposite. I am so independent. I said, so you're meeting resistance because I'm not just going along with everything you say and letting you manipulate me into everything that you want, like I'm sure you've done with other girls in their 20s, and it's not going to happen. And that's what's – I feel like we're really butting heads with that. And
I'm sure you're not liking that he's the one who's, you know, who wants to be the boss. You know what I mean? It's like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little immature, what I'm seeing here.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, he's not that young. He's like 27. Okay, but 27 is not the way you were when you were 27. Okay, he's immature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the girls he's dated have been kind of flaky and immature, and maybe he needed to tell them what to do.
Yes.
But what I could see, you can kind of get him to come around with a little gentle strength here. You know, say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it. And not necessarily duke heads with him, because there's a strong soulmate connection here, for sure.
Really?
And
because I was questioning it.
It's here, but, you know, if he's going to be the master over you, that already shifts it from soulmate. Now you've gone all the way down the ladder of love to toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got here was the soulmate card across from the toxic, which means when he's playing the boss, that makes it like, no, soulmates are two equals. You're not mommy to a boy. He's not daddy to a girl. So if you can try to... say what you mean, don't be mean about it, and get back on kind of being equals with each other. If he can't do that, that's going to be a real buzzkill, first of all.
He's very spoiled.
Yeah, well, what else? That's because my generation raised that generation. We were the Santa Claus parents. We gave them everything. We raised the most spoiled, unhappy, miserable kids in the history of the world. They are spoiled. And, he's used to having his way.
Yeah.
And that may be something that he might outgrow in time, but it might take another decade. And I don't know if you want to wait.
5-10 years.
Right, you know what I mean? When he goes through, like, 8 other women who tell him the same bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, he might eventually hear it. But I wouldn't – how long have you been seeing him now?
Since first week in June.
July, August.
7 months.
Okay, that's when, you know, the first 6 months it's always good because because the love is so strong. The 6 month onto seven starts, you know, in 6 months into a year, it starts determining whether this is going to last or not. Okay, because everybody's off their good behaviors. Everybody's showing who they really are. And,
he's lazy, and he needs to be more of a gentleman all the time, not just when he feels like it or when he wants to get what he wants. That's the other big issue.
I like the way you said lazy because that's characteristic of the generation that we raise. We let them be lazy, and we let them be not consistent in behavior. I blame my generation, but, we take full responsibility for this. And, you know, if I could do it again, boy, you know, we would not make them the messiahs of the world, you know, that the world does not revolve around them. But he's a different generation than you. It's different.
Right.
And, the other women, I guess, that he hung out with that were closer to his age might be used to this, you know, and that's okay. I mean, you could see the girl, Brianna, who was lovely that we spoke to from Kansas, they're young. They don't expect so much from men. So it's different. You're a different generation. You expected men to be polite and to be consistent in their behaviors. I would say a little tough love with him, but I will tell you probably between 7 and 9 months, you got 2 more months, this is either going to be, you know, fixed or you'll be leaving it. I mean, it may not make it to the year mark because, I wouldn't make it so you're mommy to him either. Do you know what I mean? Where you're telling him how to behave.
I'm trying to change my approach because I know that can come off like that. Because he's said that before, like once or twice he's made a comment. He's like, oh, you sound like my mom. I'm like, oh, no.
Right.
I'm like,
that's a buzzkill.
Yeah. Right.
So how do you say it?
My parents raised you to be a gentleman. So I try I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to get it across as you're lazy. You need to be a gentleman all the time. You need to put me on a pedestal, and I expect to be treated a certain way. That's the way
right.
it goes. That's how
right.
it works.
Right, and that's how, and not reprimanding him on his behavior so much, but saying, I love you or I like you, but when you say A, B, C, D, it's a turn off. You know, maybe just point out what he does, not screaming, not yelling, not name calling, but just simply, when you slammed the door on me, that didn't go over well with me. Okay. You know, I expect you to hold the door, you hold it sometimes, but now it's slammed in my face. Kind of just saying facts with him. I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, he's not a terrible guy here. He's a good guy. He's potential to make good money.
He is. He's doing good. He's starting to do really good in his career, and I'm actually keeping him on a very good path because he has a history of trouble with the law.
Okay. Now, that's another thing because 50% of men under the age of 30 have been arrested in America. And what did my generation do here? We gave them no fear of God. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's frightening, and I think they're going to have to change some things or there aren't going to be anybody left to be able to go to work. Because if everybody's been to jail, you're gonna have to hire these people. But I think he's a little defiant. He can be a little immature. Again, don't ignore he's been in jail or he's been in trouble. Know that you don't want to be mommy to a boy. So if you start, he's got that side. Run for the hills. Again, he's young. He's over the age of 25, which is, people are who they are, but he's under the age of 35. So between 25 and 35, if people are going in the right path, they can continue to go. So I see that he is doing it. But you might just find the mommy to a boy thing might get you. I'm just telling you. It might just be too. And it could happen with a man who's 48. I'm not saying this just because he's 27. But
I guess my real struggle is really how I really want to handle it the right way and get across what I need to get across.
And it's diplomatic. It's funny. Sense of humor, funny sometimes. With a sense of humor, they get that. It diffuses them, but they get it. So if you could say it funny, it doesn't hook his ego. Funny, when you say something funny, it hooks a soul and a heart. Okay, when you say it like stern, it hooks an ego, and that's when he gets ugly. So can you say it with a sense of humor? Can you say it very cute? Can you say it, you know, like sweetly sarcastic, but he gets it? So kind of figure out how to say that, because if you say it that way, he'll laugh and he'll get it.
Okay. See, that's really hard for me to do because I actually have to, like, plan it out.
Well, I think you'll get it easier for you as the time goes on. What you might want to do is, if you don't know how to say it nice, don't say it at the moment.
Right.
Come back, like, the next day and say, you know, I had such a great time with you last night, but when you did such and such, it upset me. So, you know, I would prefer if you had just done that. That's it. And let it go. But don't say it at the moment of anger, because it always comes across like mommy. And women have to be careful about that. We don't want to be mommy.
And he's being a little too cheap, and I don't like it.
Yeah, well, that generation was spoiled by us. We gave them all kinds of money. They don't even want to get pay rent or pay for cablevision or anything, because paid for it all.
He's not paying rent. His parents are paying everything.
That's right. That's because they think their money is to buy themselves all the kind of crap they want to buy, overpriced stuff for themselves, but not to buy for anybody else. It's a mistake my generation made, I'm telling you. And you might want to teach him you have to be generous with other people. That's something you have to learn, generosity and giving.
Right. Well, he is, and then he says, I take you out to dinner all the time, and I say, no. I said, that's quite an exaggeration. I said, you are exaggerating.
Well, but you see, that generation of men, by the way, was raised that they don't think they have to buy anything for women or spend money on them, okay?
What?
Now, my generation was the first generation that brought in the liberation movement, okay, the women's liberation movement. And I'm a very independent woman. I've paid my way. But I still expect a man to sometimes pay for my dinner, and I'll pay for him another time. But you got to be a little generous. These men do not think they have to buy a birthday card for the woman they're dating for 6 months. Go to the dollar store, buy two for a dollar, asshole. One for this year, one for next year. They don't want to buy them anything.
But he expects me to buy him all kinds of things. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Because that's the generation. My generation was Santa Claus parents. We bought them everything. Don't you know that? That's what we did.
And then he says, I like when you do things for me all the time. I'm like, well
that's because we did
things for me too. And what have you done?
It's generational. It's generational. It's not him personally. It's the whole generation that we spoiled. We spoiled.
Right.
And we thought they're going to learn how to work hard and they're going to do right and we'll make their life easy. Failed experiment. Very big failed experiment. So you're dealing with other women in his generation, they would probably think he's normal because that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe the women who are in their 20s, that they're with a guy, he does not bought them anything. Their birthday came, didn't buy them anything for their birthday, nothing. And yet he has a brand new car and he has, new iPhone and new, iWatch and this and that and everything. Like, come on.
Right.
So I think, you needed me to maybe point out that it's not so much him, but it is the way that the dad generation of men is. And maybe your job, even if you're not going to spend forever with him, is to maybe teach him how to treat a woman. So maybe he'll learn, call in again in a few weeks and see how you're doing with a sense of humor and the whole bit. But they're very immature. They're 27 going on 17. I'm sorry. It's an immature generation.
Oh, I know. I get so frustrated.
I know. Well, welcome. Well, you're not the parents of these kids. I make most of my money on parents of my generation with their four kids who aren't talking to them because the kids are 40 and they're stopping with the gravy train. They don't pay for the kids anymore, and the kids don't talk to the parents.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Boy.
And I just tell them, well, you're a lot richer for it.
That's our main thing. The main conflict is, that's what I was thinking, that I know it's the generation, like generational, like you said. He doesn't know anything else. So that's why I gave him an example, and I said, I know your parents brought you up to be a gentleman because I've met his parents.
But they brought him up the way my generation brought the children up. We brought them up like they're little messiahs, kings and queens. And, we should do everything for them and help them, and they never say, what can we do to help you? Okay, now. That's what we did wrong. So
his dad actually said when I first met them, his dad actually said in front of me to him, "You're spending money on her, right? Because she has helped you out so much and saved you so much money." And he's like, "You're spending all that money on her, aren't you?" And he wasn't. And he was like, and he's like, didn't know what to say. And his dad said, "Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing." And then he goes, "Well, I wouldn't have saved all that money then." And me and his father both said, "That doesn't matter." And that was back in September. So I know that his dad, maybe his dad just said that in front of me, but then it doesn't say it to him other times. I don't really know.
Well, just know that, you know, keep us a little posted because they're going to cut us off in the show in about a second, so I have to say goodbye to everybody. And
okay.
Just keep calling again and let us know what happens with a little behavior modification here.
All right, so be funny.
Be light. Lighthearted.
Don't be stern.
Just address the facts. You know, don't attack him. It's just the facts. But we say, I really like you. I think you're great. But when you do this or that, you know, first preface it, you know, you're great. But I just think you need to understand that this is not the way to behave. You know, just light.
Okay.
Not so heavy. Okay.
All right.
We don't want to be mommy to a boy.
Anyway,
we're at the end of our show. Thank you for calling in, Brianna.
Please
call in again and let us know what's happening with your nice guy. Christina will call in again, and so will Lisa. Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay,
bye-bye.
Nicole, we had an interesting show tonight, didn't we? A little bit of everything.
We did. Yes, we did.
Well, thank you so much for all your help, and we'll all speak next week.
And thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you, and get a good rest. Get a good rest and enjoy your snowboarding.
Yes, I will do this, and you have an awesome weekend, and we will talk to everybody next week.
Okay, good night, everybody. Bye.